Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 10th. And it's turned out to be a pretty chilly day here in North Texas. In fact, in the last 24 hours, I think our temperatures have dropped about 30 degrees. It is remarkable. It's going to be probably the low 30s tomorrow morning, and then it's going to apparently get a little bit warmer as we get closer to the weekend. But, I mean, this is the kind of temperature shift that you don't always see here, but you do right now. You go from 70 on Monday morning to the low 30s on Tuesday morning. I would think that's a pretty big shift. Well, today we're going to talk about articles of impeachment. I guess they're finally have been written. Although, as I've said many times, I'll believe it when I actually see it. There's still some balls up in the air. There's an interesting article about the government of the United States putting additional sanctions on Cuba, and the fact that some flights to Cuba may very well be impacted by all of this. But let's begin with a couple of stories that have been in the news today. The first one is about Michael Bloomberg, who's running for president, and there's apparently a controversy with his own organization, Bloomberg News. And as I understand it, he's told his organization not to cover him, and at the same time not to cover any of the other Democrats, but of course keep on covering President Trump. Again, I'm not sure if that's true, but if that's true, that's pretty stupid on the part of Michael Bloomberg. I mean, look, I understand that it's his company and he's on the paycheck. I understand that. But he's running for president, and it's hard for me to believe that a news organization is not going to cover a candidate for president who may very well turn out to be a major candidate for president. I mean, I know he's not polling very well yet, but, you know, he's spending money like crazy, and he's got the potential to become a substantial candidate, I think, especially by the time they get to California's primary. So I think it's a bad idea on the part of Bloomberg News. And what they ought to say is, look, you know, he founded the organization. He's the boss of the organization. But we're going to continue being journalists. I think that would make a lot more sense. And Michael Bloomberg could very easily detach himself from the news organization by simply saying, hey, you know, I'm going to take a leave of absence in whatever capacity I have in that organization. So I just think it's a bad idea for a news organization to say, we're not going to cover this guy because he owns the company. Well, I just don't think that's a good thing. The other big story, of course, is the Horowitz report. And the Horowitz report was made available on Monday. There's a lot of analysis of it today. Mr. Horowitz is going to be before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And I think that's where we're going to really get into what's in this report. The initial reaction was, well, there's a lot in this report, but the headline is that there was no political motivation in the actions that were taken. Well, I think that's pretty hard to believe, honestly. That's hard to believe considering everything that these people wrote and all of the positions that they took, and there's evidence of it. So I think it's kind of hard to believe. But, you know, I think there's a lot more to this report. And when we're finding out that the FBI or whoever was aware of the fact that this dossier that was used to get the warrant, there were many people who were aware of the fact that that dossier was untrue. And that is something that I think should worry every citizen. When you have warrants being obtained, in this case against an American citizen, on the basis of information that was falsified, I think that should worry every citizen. It worries me a great deal, to say the least. So I think there's a lot more coming about this report. Again, he's going to be in front of the Senate on Wednesday. I think that's going to create a lot of bombshells, and I think there's going to be a lot going on at that particular session. I also think, and we saw this with John Durham, who is a prosecutor up in Connecticut, who's looking into many of the similar activities. He immediately came out and said that I disagree with the findings that there was no political motivation. I guess he must have information that there was. And I just think it's unusual when you have a prosecutor who's working in the larger case coming out saying, hey, no, the report is not correct. There was, in fact, political motivation. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how it's all going to shake out. But I think we should wait for the Durham report. And then with that report, as well as the presentation tomorrow before the Senate, I think we may have a pretty good idea of what lies ahead in this particular report. One thing that happened today is that we were told that the U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement has apparently been decided or has been agreed to, which is, I think, great news. It's great news for us here in Texas. We do a lot of business with both Mexico and with Canada. So if they've got the deal, well, let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get it signed and let's move forward. This is, of course, a huge victory for President Trump. And it's actually a big victory for the Congress as well. And I think you're going to see both sides take a lot of credit, and they both deserve it, obviously. But I think this is a good example of how we can get things done in Washington if we just set our minds to it. I mean, let's just get things done like this agreement. There's other things out there that they should be working on to get things done rather than spending all the time investigating this and investigating that. I, for one, I'm sick and tired of all the investigations. That's all I can say. I'm just absolutely tired of all the investigations. They're counterproductive. They're divisive. They're poisonous. And all we do is, you know, we start yelling at each other over everything. And I just don't think that's good for the country. And I certainly don't think that's good for the politics or good for the citizens. So let's start getting some things done. These people can get things done if they wanted to. But so far, I have to confess, a lot of Democrats don't want to do anything with Trump. They don't want to make Trump look good. Well, that's a pretty stupid thing if you think about it. Let's do things for the country and everybody wins. That ought to be the philosophy in Washington. So another bit of news, and I have a post about this coming out on Wednesday morning. The United States has increased sanctions against Cuba, and basically it's going to cut back on the number of flights going to Cuba and reduce the number of flights. So I think just a few flights to Havana. Now, obviously, this is going to have an impact on tourism, and that's fine. I understand that, and it's going to deny the Cuban government a lot of hard currency that they desperately need. But this is also, I salute the Trump administration for doing this, because I think this is another example of how you keep putting pressure on the Cuban government, and either they change or you've got to change the people running the country. But this is important. It's important for Cuba to understand that they are operating a corrupt dictatorship, and the United States has the right and the power to put sanctions on that regime. And so far, these sanctions appear to be working. They appear to be working. So congratulations to the Trump administration for tightening the screws on the Cuban government. You know, part of the reason we're doing this is because of the relationship between Cuba and Venezuela. And that's the reason, one of the big reasons why I'm happy that the Trump administration is engaging in these activities. We're going to take a little break, and I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, the music of my good friend Carlos Geddes. We have a link to his website on the show information. Carlos is from Venezuela, and he's a great friend of our show. And if you click on that website, it'll take you to his website where you can get information on where he's playing and what he's doing around Dallas these days. Well, a couple of things from on this day in history. In 1898, the Treaty of Paris was signed, and that's what pretty much ended the Spanish Empire in the New World. The Treaty of Paris basically took the Philippines, Puerto Rico, Cuba, and it basically turned them over to the United States. And Cuba, of course, was a protectorate of the United States until 1902. The Philippines, I think, a little bit longer as well. But these three remaining pieces, if you will, of the Spanish Empire, you know, were defeated or were lost by Spain because of the Spanish-American War, which was a very brief war in 1898. I mean, the war lasted a very short time. Spain was in no shape to fight a war, so the war was over fairly quickly. And the United States was able to win that particular war easily, of course. And as I say, the Treaty of Paris is what formally ended the war and formally divided the real estate that the United States won in that particular conflict. In 1967, on this day, Otis Redding, the great Otis Redding, was killed in a plane crash in Madison, Wisconsin. He was coming in for a concert, and I guess they just had some very bad weather. There was some rain, frozen rain or freezing rain or whatever, as they were coming in to land, and the plane unfortunately crashed into the lake, and pretty much everybody in the plane drowned. I mean, they simply couldn't get out of the plane. The water was also very cold in Lake, I think it was Lake Monona or Lake one of those two lakes up there in Madison. But anyway, it was a real tragedy, because Otis Redding was not only going to do a concert there in Madison, but he was one of the real prominent figures in soul music back then. And he was a real, you know, rising star. I mean, I think had he lived, he would have become one of the great, great soul music singers. As it turned out, he had a pretty good career, and his song "Dock of the Bay" became number one after he was killed. But I mean, look, he wrote "Respect" for Aretha Franklin. He had a bunch of other songs that he wrote and recorded. The guy had a great style, a tremendous voice, tremendous passion in how he sang. So Otis Redding was lost at age 27 on this day in 1967. What a great talent! What an amazing talent Otis Redding was. Well, let's talk about these articles of impeachment, because, frankly, it's embarrassing what the Democrats are doing. They write these articles of impeachment. In a way, I'm kind of glad it's finally over. In other words, I'm kind of glad that they have finally decided to do something. They've only been talking about it for such a long time. So I'm kind of glad they finally decided to do something. Now, there's a rumor out there that there's some moderate Democrats who are trying to, desperately hoping that they can stop the train and get the House to let's say, issue a resolution of censure. There's some talk about that going on. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. If I was a Democrat, that's what I'd be looking for, that kind of a solution. But apparently they want to go through with impeachment and maybe get it out of the U.S. House, or get the articles out of the U.S. House over the next 10 days or so. We'll see what happens. The two articles are obstruction of Congress, which is pretty silly. I mean, it's a pretty silly accusation, because the president and the Congress are equal members in the Constitution. And the president doesn't have to send people over when the Congress wants to see him. And I think they're also accusing the president of using the courts, I guess, to stop some of this fact-finding by the Congress. Well, the president can use the courts. The Democrats have done that themselves in the past. So I just think obstruction of Congress is just utter silliness on the part of the Democrats. The other one is abuse of power, which is even sillier, because abuse of power is really a political accusation. I mean, look, you can go back. There's just about every president in American history who's been accused, one way or the other, of abusing power. So abuse of power is one of those general things that sounds real good, but it's really more opinion than anything else. It's really more, I don't like what you're doing. I mean, we did it to Obama the same way. I mean, we said abuse of power, for example, when he wrote DACA. for when he did the Iran nuclear deal without going to Congress. I mean, we used to say abuse of power all the time with President Obama back then. Anyway, it's a bad day for the Democrats all around with these silly impeachment articles. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.